8-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah.
We're online 24/7, KiaMountMoriah.com.
Yeah, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did these be at when they said they doing?
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now, as he normally does on a Tuesday, that would be Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. He is on X at C Fowler BCN. We have a podcast that releases every single Tuesday at noon. That would be the On the Bluff podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Christian, how's it going?
Everything's wonderful, Gabe. How are you today?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I'm glad it heated up a little bit, so it's not 30 like it was yesterday. You know,
did we get our last freeze today? That's the question I really care about. Out of everything that we're going to talk about over the next 30 plus minutes, the biggest thing is: are we officially done with the cold?
No. It looks like tomorrow and through the rest of the week, the lows are still going to be in the 40s and the 50s, but
yep.
We'll have a little rain on Friday.
The high tomorrow is 71, and we have no lows freezing.
Well, the low today was 28, believe it or not.
Oh, I know. I woke up and it was 29 degrees this morning. It was terrible.
Yeah, but we're good now. We're all good now. The sun came out, and we feel okay. We feel okay about ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, today is actually the start of Memphis football spring practice. How about that? Here we are.
Yeah, how about it?
Football, I wouldn't say it's right around the corner, but we have some guys out there on the field today, and some of the new guys, transfer portal additions. What are your questions? What do you want to see through this spring? Obviously, we know that they've done a good job retaining some guys. They brought some guys in through the transfer portal. I think Ryan's done a good job of sort of reloading the staff. Jordan Hankins, the defensive coordinator, brings in Lou Esposito and Reggie Howard. Both of those guys have been at this program before, sort of hometown legends. And they've hired a GM. They've done some good things this offseason. But on the field, what do you want to see this spring? What do you want to see sort of sort out or maybe play out?
I think you know where I'm going. Can you give me a guess?
Offensive line? Are we talking trenches?
It's typically where you and I go, and it's not to pander to you and your former life. It's because it's one of the most, if not other than a quarterback, the most important position, and we've seen that over the Ryan Silverfield tenure. When the offensive line has been better, the team's been better. When the offensive line struggled, the team hasn't been as good. And they lose three starters and McCalen Pounders, Jacob Likes, and Davion Carter. That's a lot to replace. That is your left tackle, your center, and your guard, who was your best overall offensive lineman. Jacob Likes held down that center position for years and was just really a solid for that offensive line. Now there's a lot of up in the air. You bring in transfers to help, and Jalen Nichols, Trent Holler, Kedro Lewis all coming in as transfers. We'll see what they bring. You know, you would expect that they will at least compete for starting jobs, and you only bring back Jonah Gamble and Xavier Hill, and that's your returners on the offensive line. So how does this group look during spring practice? How do they mesh together? And do they have enough time to come up with this continuity over the next several months to be successful from the beginning of the season on? So that's always where I'm going to start. If there's no quarterback conversation, which we know at Memphis there's no ifs, ands, or buts about who the day one starting quarterback will be, Seth Hennigan coming back again obviously gives this team a lot of continuity. You've got Mario Anderson coming in the running back. I think we're both really excited about this running back room and a real potential two-headed monster between Mario Anderson and Sutton Smith.
Yep.
It's hard not to like that. Wide receivers, you still feel pretty good about that unit with Rock Taylor, Demir Blankumsey, Kobe Drake all coming back there, which, I mean, like I said, you love that, and you bring in a four-star recruit as well there. Defensive line, you lose a little bit, a big loss in Jalen Allen, obviously. But still having, you know, Cormonte Hamilton, William Whitlow, Keviontae Spears, Derek Hunter, Jarrett Anderson, Joshua White. Like, you have a good bit of continuity on the defensive line, which I like. Linebacker, I think your best overall defensive player resides there in Chandler Martin.
And then they brought in Javonte Mackey, too, from Arkansas State. I'm excited about him. As a freshman, 84 tackles, and he was really their best defensive player at Arkansas State.
Yeah, and the linebacking core should be really good this year. And like I said, I think Chandler Martin is the best player on this defense and overall one of the best players on the team. So, you know, having a guy like him back for that linebacker group is big. And then the secondary, we'll see. You bring back a lot of guys that played last year, but we know that they certainly had their struggles there. And widely it's the same group with Diego Brumfield, Davion Ross, and Darius Coffey, Greg Rubin. A lot of the same guys are there, and some competition was also brought in. You have some younger guys transfer, so we'll see what they do there, who stands out, if anybody can, you know, come into the spring and show out and maybe compete for a job or take a starting job that we didn't expect. But if you're catching the trend, then what I'm saying is there's a lot of continuity on this team overall. Really, to me, the biggest questions are the offensive line, because you got three new starters there. And in the secondary, and it's not because there's not continuity, it's because it just wasn't a very successful unit as a whole last year. And we'll see where the growth can be there and if some of those new guys can come in and make a difference. But everywhere else, I really don't have questions. Like, we talked about D-line, wide receiver, running back room, quarterback, linebacker. I feel really, really good about all those position groups. So if you're looking at a spring outlook, and you're saying there's really only two position groups that we have questions about, that's a very good sign going
right,
into
it. Right, and also, like, that continuity you bring up, it's almost the anti-Tiger basketball, if we're being honest. But that's part of the reason you should feel good about next season, is because the roster retention, the ability that Ryan and the staff have had to sort of recruit who's on the roster, keep them on board. Obviously, they'll have some guys. I mean, he even said that to me when he joined me, I think, last week. He said they're going to have guys after spring that hop into the portal, but they're just going to try to limit it as they go. Now, on the offensive line, I Trent Holler at center, I feel really confident about him, started a bunch of games at Marshall. Keydrell Lewis started a bunch of games at his last stop. The one wild card here that I've been sort of told could be unbelievable, and obviously he's in his fifth year, Jalen Nichols is an interesting one, isn't he? From South Carolina, just like Mario Anderson Jr., who will be playing running back, but before he tore his ACL last year in the preseason, he was going to start at left tackle in the SEC for South Carolina. He was slated to be the starting left tackle. And we know if you can start at left tackle in that league, you probably have a good chance in the AAC of being a very effective player.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then looking, because I didn't necessarily go deep on a lot of transfers, but when you look at what they did in this transfer class, and no, they don't have any of these crazy headliners really outside of Mario Anderson. But you look at a guy like Devin Baldwin, who could come in and compete on the defensive line from Jacksonville State. That's a good addition. You look at Jalen Nichols, like you mentioned, coming in and was in contention for a starting job at South Carolina last year. Taj Rael from Old Dominion in the secondary. Yep. One of those guys that could come in and compete for a job. A.J. Watts, the same from Louisiana Monroe, another guy that could come in and compete in the secondary. So just a lot of really intriguing pieces that they added in the transfer portal. Jaden Dennis, another guy that was a decently rated transfer from Elon, and we'll see how that translates. So they added a lot of really interesting pieces on this team as a whole in the transfer portal. I think they did a really good job. Like, you look at these teams that build from recruiting classes, but then also fill in the gaps with the transfer portal. And I think that's really what Ryan and the staff want to do, is they want to fill those holes with veterans, and that's what they did on the offensive line. And I really like those additions. You mentioned Trent Holler from Marshall, another really good addition for them. So I'm a huge fan of what they did in the offseason. I know there wasn't a ton of hype and buzz surrounding this team last year after the switch in the conference and the teams that came out, and just the overall outlook of the conference. But you look at this year, expanding the 12-team playoff, we've seen Memphis be a little bit of a trendy pick to get that spot for the group of five. And you look at the overall roster, and it's hard to argue with. They are clearly one of the, best three to five group of five teams
easily
going into this year on paper. Easily. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just the sky really is the limit for this team. If they can go throughout this whole season the way that they, on the note that they kind of ended off with the bowl game last year and keep that momentum, this team is dangerous. And I think we'll see a lot more buzz. We've seen, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit, we've seen some announcements and some talk about the stadium renovations over the past couple of days. That always is going to cause some excitement and some buzz around the program. And then just overall what this team has talent-wise, you know, both with homegrown guys that they've brought in as high school recruits and built up, and then as transfers that are going to come in and help immediately. Like, this team has a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Ryan, it looks like he's getting close to a extension. You know, when we look at sort of what was said by Laird Veach when he talked to the media about it, he said, you know, the terms are agreed upon. They just have to get a lawyer to get that contract all written up. What do you think that thing's going to look like? Just extra years? Do you think he'll get a little bit of new money because of the 10-3 year last year? Or do you think that, like, I guess I'm of the opinion that when we look at sort of how his entire tenure has gone, this is probably going to be a wait and see till next year to give him that big new money extension. If he gets into the playoffs, certainly you give him a big new money extension. But if he doesn't, and you're worried about the future with him, you'll probably just sort of sit on what you give him this offseason.
This is such a difficult...
Well, and isn't it also, I think that the interesting part about next year is just how different the outcomes could be, how much different they could be. If he balls out, if this team balls out and they get into the 12-team playoff, he'll be wanted by other schools who may open up in the Power 5.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, if they sort of fall flat, this team, and get to 8 wins, there's going to be questions again about, you know, Ryan, is he ever going to be the guy for this job? The hashtag Fire Silverfield crowd will be loud and proud again. So the outcomes, they range next year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and it makes what you do in this offseason even more of a question, because if you go ahead and you add more money and more years this year on an extension, then if Memphis goes out and has an incredible year, then you look like a genius for going ahead and locking that up. You know what I mean? Like, you already have that new money there. The expectation wouldn't be for an immediate extension right after that, regardless of the outcome. But then on the other hand, if you give that new money now, and like you're saying, the season doesn't go the way that a lot of us anticipate, and it's a 7 or 8 win season, then that looks like a more and more questionable choice. And if something happens and they do have to part ways, then, you know, more guaranteed money is only a hindrance for this program moving forward. So there's a lot of question marks on that. It is kind of a difficult position to be in, because I feel like this really is a very pivotal season for the football program and for Silverfield and the staff themselves. So it's a tough decision to make, and we'll see how they go about it when the actual details for the contract do come out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We're talking with Christian Fowler. He is from the On the Bluff podcast with me. It comes out every single Tuesday at noon. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Now let's talk Tiger basketball and sort of transition to maybe a little bit more negative of a conversation, but they crap out in the AAC tournament against Wichita State. Since the last time we talked, I didn't expect it to end there. I expected them to at least get to like a Saturday game and potentially the championship game. But it definitely highlights what has gotten them, what got them to the point that they were at this year in missing the NCAA tournament, losing games against bad opponents that they had no business losing. But with that, we're off to the offseason, and now it's just... I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it than saying it's an inflection point for Penny Hardaway and his era in general. Right now, it looks like the only givens to return are Nick Jourdain and Ashton Hardaway. And then you sort of have to, you know, flip through Carl Sharonfant. Does David Jones ultimately return to school? We'll see. But it looks like Nick Jourdain and Ashton Hardaway. Jonathan Pierre gets in the transfer portal and tells the Daily Memphian, you know, the situation was very chaotic. He let it change his personality. He said that there were cancers in the locker room. This season went about as badly as it could have gone from conference play on. And the recovery going into this offseason needs to be in question. And I think most fans and most media members deserve to be as skeptical as we're being right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And you said this was an inflection point for Penny Hardaway. this is a very, I just mentioned a pivotal season for Ryan Silverfield in the football program. It's very similar, but with more negativity surrounding it for the basketball program. Because you look at, we sound like a broken record, but we have to say it. Like, you look at the way that this team started, 15-2, number 10 in the AP poll, battling for a potential 4-6 seed in the NCAA tournament. And the massive fall from grace there, finishing the season, 7-8 after that? 22-10, is that right? And losing in the first round, or in the second round, their first game of the conference tournament against a really, really bad Wichita State team, which is, I believe, 155th in the net rankings. And you said it as well. Like, I don't think we really expected anything less than a semifinal appearance. Even with the volatility of this team, you just looked around at the matchups. They got a favorable side of the bracket, favorable matchups, starting against Wichita State. It just felt like, okay, this team's at least going to go to the semifinal, and then we'll see from there. Maybe they go out and get to the championship game, and maybe they even go out there and win it. But to lose in that fashion, you could see it on Penny's face. You could see it on Naquan Tomlin and David Jones' face as they did the post-game press conference. This season was just rough. This season was, as you mentioned, as bad as it could have went from conference play on. It was disastrous and embarrassing. Like, this was not a fun season to cover. This wasn't a fun season, I'm sure, for fans, or I know for fans, just from social media and everything that's been going on there. Like, this was a terrible season. Once again, we're going to see a pretty much a blank slate. Even if, you know, Carl Scherenfant and David Jones come back, it's still going to be almost a completely new roster next year when you look and you say Jordan Brown's out of eligibility, JQ's out of eligibility, Naquan Tomlin, Malcolm Dandridge, maybe Caleb Mills, depending, who knows what happens there. Do they try to get a waiver with a medical tag on it for his injury this year? And how does that situation play out? It's going to be almost completely a new team again this year. And it's how does Penny go about it? And people are going to talk about the NIT bid and turning it down. You're going to have differing opinions there. Honestly, who wants to see this team play in an NIT game? They backs against the wall in the AAC tournament. They couldn't even get up for one of the worst teams in the country, you know, like a middle of the pack, the worst teams in the country in Wichita State, to potentially punch a ticket to the NCAA tournament. So there's no way that they would get up for an NIT game when they all came here with the aspirations of the NCAA tournament and further. So honestly, I think it's best for them not to. You can have your opinion on if that's right or wrong. But just objectively looking at it, Penny and the staff need to immediately hit the ground
right
with recruiting.
To me, it's deeper than, like, listen, I think it's bad form to deny the NIT bid and act like you're above it, because this program, based on where they've been in the Penny Hardaway era, they're not above it. They've been to two NCAA tournaments and won one game. Like, I agree with that. But it's March 18th, you had the transfer portal open, and Penny has talked about for years wanting to get this thing done quickly, wanting to get his team ready by June or July so they have more time with each other. That's the only way you can do it, is if you deny this NIT bid.
Yeah, for sure, because you need 100% of your focus being on recruiting now and washing the taste out of everyone's mouth that was this year. And that started yesterday. You know, that started as soon as players were actually able to hit the portal, next year starts. You don't have to worry about preparing for an NIT game that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter at all. It doesn't do anything. Even if Memphis were to go win another NIT championship, it does nothing for this team, because we know that they won't be back. We know that these guys are out of eligibility. So just start fresh, start new, exit interviews, get those over with, done. Wipe the slate clean, start over again, and do everything you can to do better than you did this year, whether that's personnel, whether that's decision making, whatever that is, you know, character of guys, whatever that looks like, start it yesterday. Start it March 18th, build it over the next couple of months, get those guys in, get the team set up and locked in, and have that core, right? Not the core, have the whole team from the summer on, and build that up throughout, build the chemistry, build the camaraderie, and have a team that's ready to go compete on a nightly basis and not only get up when the lights are bright or not have these potential issues in the locker rooms that we've heard about. Just get it right, you know, get things right, correct things, and right the ship for next year, because that's all you can do now. You can't sit and sulk on this year and be worried about this year. It immediately has to be a move-on mindset and looking towards the 2024 season.
Yeah, and he's reached out to a couple of guys already. Doug McDaniel, who was the point guard at Michigan last year, that 8-24 team that got Juwan Howard fired. But he had 16 right. points per game, 36% from three. I think the more interesting one is the guy that I heard he reached out to today. Derek Murray is reporting, and he covers, you know, NBA draft, a little bit of college hoops as well. He's reporting that he's reached out to Arturo Dean from Florida International. And I almost like that thought process more because we know what Penny wants. He talked about it after the game against Wichita State, the one they lost that ultimately ended their season at 22-10. He said this team was not built the way that I wanted it to be built on the defensive end. Arturo Dean led the entire NCAA in steals last year. It feels like that's the type of guy or you know, consistently that you need to reach out to. You know, guys like Nick Jourdain, who's returning next year, those are more of the style of guy you need to have. You need to have a clear pecking order from top to bottom, something they didn't have this year to start, and it clearly it wore on that team. So I'm just curious, what do you think he needs to do as far as, like, the guys he brings in? We know about, you know, personality, guys that may be more high character. But I think that if we don't see it skewed to the defensive side of the ball, we need to be skeptical.
Yeah, I agree. Just with what we saw this year with guys that weren't the best defensive players in the country or guys that weren't primarily defensive players, guys that were offensive-minded. That's just not going to work with Penny's system. And we saw that this year. And you say, well, look how successful Kendrick Davis was, and he wasn't known for his defense. No, he wasn't. But you watch Kendrick Davis. He put effort in on the defensive end. Yes, he was undersized. Yeah, you know, he wasn't the best matchup for Memphis when it came to
But he got knockaways and steals.
Exactly. And the effort was there. There was never any questioning Kendrick Davis's effort or desire or want to be there. That was never in question at all. So you're mentioning Arturo Dean and leading the country in steals last year at 3.4 a game. Also a little bit turnover prone at 3.7, and you right. can look at Doug McDaniel and say that his turnovers were a little bit less, but the steals were way less as well. So someone like Arturo Dean, who is also not the biggest guy at 5'11", but is someone who is relatively defensive-minded, averaging over 5 rebounds per game as a 5'11 point guard is not something that you see all the time. So having someone that you know is willing to rebound, willing to pass the ball, and an effective shooter and scorer, also can get out in transition on the defensive end and get steals and get takeaways, is something that this team needs from the top down, you know, like from the point guard position up, have guys that are defensive-minded. They don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the guys that are, this is the lockdown best perimeter defender in the entire country. It doesn't have to be that. It just has to be guys that are willing to play on that end of the floor. Because if you don't have that, then you have the catastrophe that you had this year. Because Penny's entire mindset, system, game plan revolves around the defensive end of the floor. So everybody that's on this roster, from the guy that's going to play the most minutes to a guy that's, you know, going to come in and get 2 minutes at the end of blowout, every single player on this roster needs to have a defensive mindset for Penny's system to work. We've seen it in years past be effective when you have those guys, and now we've seen it this year be ineffective when you don't have those guys. So that is the criteria. That is the number one criteria. Get guys that are willing and able to play defense, and past that, you whittle it down however you want, whether it's character, three-point shooting ability, whatever it is past that. But the first criteria for Penny Hardaway needs to be defense, because that is his system.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last night on the pod. It is kind of wild to see, you know, the two main sports. You have Ryan running the football program, Penny running the basketball program. The way that the thought process has flipped around their job security, it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild to see how that's all played out over the past year.
Yeah, it has been insane pretty much, because you go into this season I mean, rewind it to June and July last year. Obviously, even later than that, you can go up into November and December when Memphis was rolling.
Right.
But there was so much hype around the Memphis basketball program going into the season. They showed that they could do it earlier in the year, a top 10 team in the country. It was at an all-time high in the Penny Hardaway era as far as excitement, arguably, with on-the-floor product. I know the off-season there were more hype around teams potentially because of number one recruiting
sure.
classes. But just strictly from on-the-floor play, quality of wins, like this was, through the first 17 games, the best Memphis team we had seen under Penny Hardaway. And then you contrast that with, you know, the 7-8 finish, the second-round bounce in the AAC tournament, the questions surrounding Penny in the locker room and, you know, the roster management and all these things. It did a complete 180. And then you look at the football program, and it's kind of the opposite. There wasn't much buzz or hype going into the 23 season. A lot of people were down because of conference realignment and everything and missing out on potentially going to another conference along with teams that were in the AAC. And then the early season play wasn't necessarily great. And then throughout the year, it improved and got better. And then you end it with a bowl win and 10 wins overall. And so the contrast in that is crazy because Penny started the season the highest it had ever been for Memphis, ended up the lowest it's been in his tenure. And then for Ryan, you know, starting on with not a ton of expectation and not a lot of hype and ending on a very high note and then going into the offseason and doing an incredible job as far as staff and roster goes. So it is and completely different from where we sat, you know, 6 to 8 months ago on both programs.
And here is the terrifying reality. And I know there's some basketball fans that may be annoyed with me saying this, but here's the truth of it. Ryan has built a more sustainable program, seemingly, the past few years than Penny's building. Penny has to redo this roster every year, and I understand that Ryan has some transfers that go in and out, but it feels like he's learned at least a little bit how to retain his roster. You have some of the best players that you could possibly have returning in Demir Blankemsey and Rock Taylor and Seth Hennigan, whereas all the best players for Penny, you have to worry about them leaving. Most of them will leave. You only have one guy that you're really hanging your hat on that could potentially return once he tests the waters for the NBA draft, and that's David Jones, but there's no guarantees on that. I know this is a tough truth to hear for a lot of folks, but it is the truth. Ryan, through the last few years, has built a more sustainable program than Penny.
Yeah, it's a very interesting argument because you look at the way that Penny built the roster in 2022, and it was largely with transfers, but also still had a decent amount of returning guys. You look, they bring in Kendrick Davis and a couple of other transfers, Elijah McCadden, to come in and play big minutes. And after the tournament loss to FAU last year, Penny decided that's how he wanted to build the roster. Talented young guys, experienced veterans, and that was going to be the way. You look at the way the roster was built this year, there's so much volatility in the way that it's done. And not only from season to season, but game to game because of the lack of continuity in minutes and just this season.
The minutes continuity metric from KenPom, 341st out of 363.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So there's just so much volatility with a completely new roster because it's a team that's never played together. There's no meshing. There's hardly any camaraderie. Even if these guys are, you know, hanging out off the floor, like there's only so much time they have to spend together before live bullets are flying and they're in the games and stuff is happening and you got to adjust on the fly. And then you look at the football program. I mentioned it earlier when we first started talking about them. The core is pretty much the same. You're just plugging holes with transfers. You're bringing in talented, experienced guys that can come in and fill a position of need. And that, as you're saying, is much more sustainable because you can do that every year. If you keep your core every year and you add, I know they added 20 guys this year, but if you're just looking at it realistically, all 20 of those guys are not going to play.
And they're some of them are depth pieces. Some of them are behind guys that are already here, have been here for a few years.
But the main 5 to 7 guys that are the most talented of the group will be starters this year and will play very meaningful snaps and mean a lot to this team. And then you look at Penny's model. It's all new guys coming in. They're going to play the majority of the minutes, and we have no idea how they're going to react to being on the floor together or in different situations. because there was no one to set that culture. And when those guys come in, say, this is how we do things here, no questions asked. There's no leniency towards that, which vice versa on the football aspect of it, you bring new guys in, you bring transfers in, there is a culture set, and those guys come in and you say, okay, this is how it's done. This is how we've done it for years. This is how we've been successful. This is how we won 10 games last year. This is the process. This is the expectation. And you just don't have that when you bring in an entirely new roster. So that's kind of the compare and contrast of the two between the way the two coaches have built each respective roster.
Yep. Now, last thing for you, Christian, talking with Christian Fowler at C. Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We have the field of 68 all published. Who do you like out of the one seeds? I'll just go with the one seeds here. Who do you give the best chance to? UConn, Houston, Purdue, or North Carolina?
To me, it's UConn, and I know that we talked about this last night. I know you have Purdue a little bit higher than them, but UConn, defending national champions, they've been there, they've done that, they have a ton of talent.
It is
very hard to repeat, but if I had to put my money somewhere, it's on them. Like, okay. Purdue hasn't shown us that they can do it in this tournament aspect, and I know this team is better than last year's team, but still, this team didn't even make it out of the first round last year. And I'm not saying that that's my expectation for them this year. I would say Sweet 16 at worst for them, because they're an extremely talented team with arguably the best player in the country, most dominant player in the country. But you look at UConn from top to bottom, they're just such a well-constructed roster, such a well-coached team. Donovan Klingon's been really good this year. And even though they lost guys, you know, like Jordan Hawkins, who was so incredible on their tournament run last year, they really haven't missed much of a step at all. And they're just a very, very scary team in this tournament aspect. So for me, I like Purdue. I think they have a lot, and I think they could certainly make a run at the national championship. But it's hard for me to pick anybody but UConn just because of not only of what they did last year, but what they've done this year as well. They're just a overall, from top to bottom, very good team.
But damn, it is really hard to watch. You know, looking at the NCAA tournament, if you're a Memphis fan, you see teams all over the bracket that the Tigers were able to beat. Right? You have UAB, right. You have Texas A&M, you have Clemson, you have Virginia, you have FAU. Like, you just see. You see how close they were, but also considering the way it ended in the AAC, you see how far away they were as well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely. That's funny. I was actually when the bracket first came out, I was looking at it and I was like, "This is insane," because what I think A&M's maybe an 8 seed and Clemson's like a 5 or 6 seed.
They were five and two ultimately against tournament teams, and that was the in conference play. They lost to FAU and they lost to UAB once.
Right, and it's just you're right. It is the this team, I think, at least for the next 5 to 8 years, and could be further. We'll see what happens in that amount of time to potentially wash this away. This will always be the team that could have been,
yep,
because they were so good and so talented, and they competed with some of the better teams in the country. They won a lot of those games, a lot of those quad one opportunities and out of conference play. And then it all fell apart. So to me, they're the ultimate what could have been.
Yep, for sure. No question about it. Well, Christian, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. That is Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. He's on X at C Fowler BC. And we have a pod, by the way, releases every single Tuesday at noon. It's called the On the Bluff Podcast. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Now let's transition into the Blitz when we come back, and we need to talk about a former Cowboy that's landed somewhere else for a whole lot of money. That would be left tackle Tyron Smith. He has landed with the Jets on a 1-year $20 million deal. But what does this mean ultimately for Aaron Rodgers and this Jets team heading into the 2024 season? I'll explain that next. I think that this offseason for Memphis football, and I know we're not talking about it heavily because it's the offseason, but I think they've aced it. I think they have done a really good job showing what the future of this program is going to hold after 2 weeks.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Spring training is here, and the free Odyssey app has everything you need to get ready for opening day.
in-depth team coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country, exclusive interviews with players, managers, and MLB insiders, and podcasts dedicated to your favorite team. Listen live to the latest breaking news from around the league, or choose from a list of topics and listen on demand. It's all on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. A-U-D-A-C-Y.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
My new exercise bike. Yeah, more like my $1,500 coat rack.
At Babbel, we get it. Learning something new is hard, especially a new language.
My Spanish starts and ends at adios.
Make it easy on yourself with Babbel. In just 10 minutes a day, you can start having real conversations in as little as 3 weeks.
Hola, Espanol.
It starts here. To try Babbel free, text radio to 64,000. Text radio to 64,000.
Ulta Beauty's semi-annual beauty event is happening now. Unleash your love for beauty with 50% off daily beauty steals on hair, skin, makeup, and fragrance. Shop your favorite brands like Tarte and Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Plus, grab perfect hair care pairs from brands like Redken and Olaplex. And check out new arrivals from brands like Charlotte Tilbury and Dyson. Shop the Ulta Beauty semi-annual beauty event online, in-store, or try pickup today. Now through March 28th. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful. Conditions apply.
Hey, basketball fans, get in on the tournament action on the BetMGM Sportsbook app today. With BetMGM, you can discover same-game parlays, live bets, special boosts and tokens, and so much more for March matchups. Don't miss a single shot with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM for terms. 21 plus, Tennessee only. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Hey everyone, Gabe Kuhn here. I think there's three checklist items when looking for a good dentist practice. One, are they good at their job? That's one thing you absolutely don't have to worry about when you go to Dr. Mady Sadeghi at the Smile Center. Two, is it convenient? I would say the Smile Center is about as convenient as it gets. Perfect location in Germantown. And three, are they personable? You may catch Dr. Mady trying to talk Grizzlies with you upon your visit. But regardless, Smile Center checks all the boxes for a phenomenal dentist practice. Get to their location in Germantown or go to SmileCenterMemphis.com.
It's time to discover your new Kia at Gossett Kia on the Pike. And there's never been a better time to drive off in your new Kia. Make it happen today in a 2024 Kia Forte LXS. 41 mpg, 219 a month. How about sporty 2024 Kia Sportage LX? We Gossett, 289 a month. Oh, $34.99 to its signing. And get rugged in 2024 Kia Telluride LX. $429 a month. $39.99 to its signing all 36-month lease. So call Bobby J to put you in a new Kia today. That's Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, or online anytime at KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte RE72, 3985, MSRP 22320, Sportage R724, 7640, MSRP 29635, Telluride RG499963, MSRP 41005, includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax on a license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details, offer valid through 4-1-2024, dealer stock only.
Your chance to get that rare, hard-to-find luxury timepiece is here at Genesis Diamonds. Hi, this is Devir Vanon, Vice President at Genesis. I want to make sure your Rolex dream come true. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Genesis is hosting an epic pre-owned luxury Rolex event featuring a stunning new selection of these hard-to-find watches. Hawks, Submariners, Daytonas, Pepsis, Batmans, all the hottest models that people wait years for. These are carefully chosen timepieces in pristine condition. During this event, you can take advantage of special pricing and zero-interest financing. And listen to this. With the purchase of any luxury pre-owned Rolex at this event, Genesis will give you a pair of 2-carat lab-grown diamond stud earrings for free. That's a $4,000 value. Also, for this event, our pre-owned Rolex buyers are on site, offering top dollar for your Rolex. So I invite you to join us this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday only, and only at Genesis Diamonds, your home for luxury pre-owned Rolexes. We're at Poplar and Perkins Extended. I can't wait to meet you.
Now, the biggest stories.
Overloading the line.
A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
We're back in and blitzing on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And, of course, the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's get into it.
Former Cowboys All-Pro left tackle Tyron Smith signed a one-year, $20 million deal with the Jets. It continues an offseason for the Jets that has prioritized offensive line help for Aaron Rodgers.
Now, this contract is $6.5 million all guaranteed. But the incentives are nuts. If he makes the Pro Bowl, $500K. Each Jets playoff win will be $250K. The rolling incentives, 38% of the snaps, $750K. 44%, $1 million. All the way up to 68%, another $1 million. 74%, $1.25 million. If he plays 98% of the snaps, $1.25 million. But all these incentives may lead him to a $20 million payday by the end of this. And I don't blame the Jets in the slightest for going and making this move, even though Tyron Smith has been hurt and he has to miss a few games here and there at his advanced age. He's got some elbow issues. He's got some neck issues. He's got some knee issues. Like, he has been all over the place because he's getting older, but he does still play at an all-pro level. If he gets his hands on you, even to this day, he makes you look like a child. He is absolutely unbelievable when he plays. But I think this is a good move for the Jets, because when you look at their projected offensive line, they've made a lot of good signings and good trades this offseason to try to at least get this offense off the ground and running. They still have Garrett Wilson on the outside, still Alan Lazard for the meantime, even though he's on the trade block. They have some decent weapons. We know Breece Hall's in the backfield. But this projected offensive line could be Tyron Smith at left tackle, John Simpson, who was really good with the Ravens last year, at left guard, Joe Tippmann in year two out of, I believe, Wisconsin, at center, Elijah Vera Tucker, who can play at an all-pro level, but he's been hurt a whole lot, at right guard, and then Morgan Moses, who has missed like barely any games in his entire career. They traded for him from the Ravens. And made him their right tackle. So, like, they are trying to keep Aaron Rodgers upright, and they know how old he is, and they know they only have a couple of years with him. So they're trying to take advantage right now. If you can keep him upright, if you can keep bodies off of him, he can still do some good things. Now, the only thing that can really derail this is, just looking at it, if he is RFK Jr.'s running mate. That's sort of what we're looking at right now. He needs to limit the noise himself, even though he says, oh, we need to get the noise out of the Jets locker room. But they
As
have
he's
done,
banging a drum.
Exactly. They have done everything they can to try to solidify this offensive line, solidify this offense, to handle themselves with this defense. They could be a good team next year. But I still think, like, with the Jets and all that could go wrong with Aaron Rodgers, like, the range of outcomes are pretty insane.
Yeah, but I don't disagree with them whatsoever of trying to get that offensive line, because even though I know that we like to bag on Zach Wilson a little bit, he really was running for his life in a lot of moments last year. So just trying to get that offensive line to a place where they can just give the quarterback at least an opportunity to make a play, which, you know, again, I don't think Zach Wilson has much talent and really a place in the NFL, but he really was behind one of the worst offensive lines in the game.
Yes, there's no question about it. And I think, you know, spending some money, trying to solidify it, is what they need to do. They have more than enough on the outside. I think their quarterback's good. I think their running back's good. But they needed to tie it all together. You need to start from the trenches out. They started from the outside in, unfortunately. But at least they're trying to make right on their wrongs. Now, for the Cowboys, I'm concerned about their offensive line now.
I don't understand their offseason. It's been weird.
They haven't done anything.
It's been weird.
And then they released Leighton Vander Esch, and they released Michael Gallup too late. Because they could have had that money to go spend at the beginning of free agency when everybody was available. But their O-line right now, I like Tyler Smith at left tackle. He's out of Tulsa a couple years ago. I think he'll be fine. Zach Martin, we know, is an all-pro right guard. He'll be great. Terrence Steele, good right tackle. That's fine. Left guard in the center, TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman, right? They've been playing in the league for, I think, a combined 4 years at this point. You know how many starts they have combined? Four. Four starts in their entire career. Brock Hoffman was a guy who started on a practice squad when he came into the league as an undrafted type guy. So they have to solidify this offensive line. They don't have a running back either. Like, the Cowboys are just sitting on their hands, and it's like, I understand you draft well, but you can't just bank on that. These are going to be new guys that you have to get involved in your system, and you don't know how long that's going to take. You had to at least do something in free agency to try to go win now. You have a win now roster. Why are you just sitting there and letting everything pass you by? All these opportunities have passed the Cowboys by, and I know Cowboys fans are frustrated. And it has to do with the Joneses, Steven and Jerry. They are solid at drafting, but when it comes to free agency and trying to maximize opportunities, they just never have been able to do that. They've never been good at it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the free agent market for offensive linemen is beginning to dry up. Like, they don't have many options.
Up.
And I understand that they may want to get it done in the draft, but according to all the mock drafts that I've seen, it seems like most of the best offensive linemen in this draft will be gone by the time the Cowboys come around.
I mean, there's depth pieces you can find in day two and day three. Like, I understand that, but you're betting on yourself.
The premier lineman.
But you are hardcore. If you're taking guys in day two and day three and hoping that they turn into something in year one, you are betting on yourself and your system and your development through fall camp and through the summer and the whole thing. I don't know if I'm willing to take that bet with the team they have. You have Dak Prescott playing at an all-pro level. You have Brandon Cooks. You have CeeDee Lamb playing unbelievably. On the defensive side of the ball, you have probably your best defense in a decade. To bet on all these different pieces in the draft to just come along that quickly, it's just like a bet I wouldn't want to take if I were in their particular situation. You have let the Rams potentially pass you up, the Packers potentially pass you up, the Eagles certainly have passed you up. You've let all these different teams pass you up because of what they've done in free agency while you've sat on your hands. You better hope that this draft yields great results, or you're going to look like a complete moron by the time we get to the playoffs.
According to Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, Michigan QB J.J. McCarthy visited the Giants last week, which included dinner with the front office and a tour of the facility. The Commanders are also flying out to Ann Arbor to have dinner Thursday night with McCarthy the night before his pro day.
Someone explain to me this. Like, what
he's got the look, Gabe.
What does J.J. McCarthy do that's just
he's
like...
He's got a title.
I mean, what is it? What does he do that's like so unbelievably good?
He's a game manager, Gabe.
To where these front offices are looking at him as a top 15 pick. I've seen him potentially, I mean, in the new Mel Kiper Jr. mock draft, he has him at 11 going to the Vikings ahead of Denver. And then Denver would take Bo Nix in that spot because they have missed out on J.J. McCarthy, the guy they want to sort of hang their hat on. I don't get why he is thought of so highly. I just can't for the life of me understand it in the slightest. And if the Giants are an interesting one, what if they traded back and took J.J. McCarthy and tried to get something out of that number six pick by trading back? And they obviously they don't really like Daniel Jones. They don't really know what to do at their quarterback position right now. I just don't get the J.J. McCarthy hype. When anybody says, oh, this guy's a winner, my antennas go up. How good is he a quarterback? I've seen a lot of non-winners be very, very successful at the next level. Patrick Mahomes won. He went 5-7 a couple years when he was at Texas Tech, right? And then I look at some of the guys that have won in the past. Johnny Manziel was a winner in college.
Jones was a winner.
Jamarcus Russell was a hell of a winner in college. Mac Jones was a hell of a winner in college. Won a natty his final year at Alabama. Like, the whole winning thing is just lost on me. And then they say pro style. Oh, well, he's in those pro style sets. So you mean he handed the ball off a million times?
He said, here, Blake Corum, you take the ball.
What does that do to me? What does that do for you? I mean, in the national title game, he went 10 for 19 for 140 yards.
Top 10 pick game.
He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything in the national title game, quite frankly. That was Blake Corum, and I guess he converted a couple third downs to Roman Wilson on, like, crossing patterns, but it's like, what does he do that's so special? He's an athlete, but not like some unreal athlete compared to the rest of these guys in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, compared to some of these edge rushers, these linebackers. I just can't for the life of me understand the J.J. McCarthy fascination. You can say he won, but there's been a lot of winners in college that have never panned out to be a damn thing in the NFL. And it's a big full stop for me. That is, my antennas go up and I get concerned. If your biggest attribute is, oh, he is a winner, that's not a good thing to be said about a college quarterback going into the NFL, because that doesn't translate, because you're not going to have the same pieces around you. You're not going to have the exact same offensive line that won a Joe Moore Award for you. You're not going to have, like, the best talent when you get into the NFL, because it's the league of parity. They try to create parity constantly, and, you know, the situation you're going into, especially if it's like the Denver Broncos, it's not a good situation at all. So you can say he's a winner all you want, but that won't translate to you winning with the Denver Broncos in their current state. Let's be completely honest about the situation.
But Gabe, have you seen him meditate?
Shoes off at the Rose Bowl, meditating, leaning up against the
in front
the
of all
post.
The cameras.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Listen, I think J.J. McCarthy's a good enough guy. I think he's got some talent, and I would take him in the draft. But as a top 15 pick?
Right.
Absolutely the hell not.
I think J.J. McCarthy.
I can't even convince myself to think that's a real thing, although clearly front offices in the NFL think super highly of him.
He seems like someone to me that needs to bake for a few years and then he could become something. But if you're drafting him to be your quarterback right now, I'm not sure that's the right move. That's my take. I do think he's got talent and could turn into a decent NFL quarterback. If you just want him to be your quarterback right now, QB1, I'm not sure he's ready for that.
Right, and the pro style thing is always the funniest thing. We've talked about this.
Yes, he just hands it off to Blake Corum.
That's when you say it's pro style, they're in two tight end sets and he's handing it off to Blake Corum and getting into play action and dumping the ball down into the flat to his tight end or something, doing these crossing routes that are easy to read. Pro style does not mean the same as it did 10 years ago. Pro style used to be exactly that, pro style.
But it sounds cool.
But now we have switched up, and I did the stat. I told you the stat. 83% of the time, quarterbacks in the NFL are taking shotgun snaps. It goes up to 99% when you're talking about Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and guys like that. And those are the most prolific offenses. So I don't think in the NFL that whole pro-style mantra that people try to hang their hat on, getting under center and doing the two tight ends, I don't know if that works at the highest level anymore. So, hey, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. But this J.J. McCarthy hype, to me, is just way overblown and ridiculous. But on that note, let's go ahead and transition out of the blitz and wrap this show up. We'll be back with a rewind in just a second on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, it's a BetMGM College Basketball Update, presented by BetMGM on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Full coverage on 92.9 FM, ESPN, and it's the start of the NCAA tournament today in Dayton with number 16 Wagner taking on number 16 Howard. That's tonight in the first game. The second game features number 10 Colorado State against number 10 Virginia. Tomorrow in the tournament, it's number 16 Grambling taking on the Bobcats from Montana State, and then Colorado takes on Boise State in the late game in the first four. Thursday night, the full NCAA tournament bracket action starts, followed by Friday's action in Memphis at 11:40 a.m. The first session in Memphis for the NCAA tournament at FedEx Forum featuring number 2 Baylor and number 14 Colgate. Then Clemson, New Mexico, Nebraska versus Texas A&M in the third matchup, and Houston taking on number 16 Longwood here in Memphis. This report is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Please gamble responsibly.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/radio. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/radio and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio for your free online visit, hims.com/radio.
I'm what you might call very good at hide-and-seek. This one time, my parents had to round up the whole neighborhood to track me down. It was a mess. A lot of tears. Well, now that we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, including all my favorite super secret hiding spots. So I can kill time in here by streaming my shows and...
Ha! Found ya.
The heck? How?
You left to find my tablet on.
This generation, ruining the game with their performance enhancers.
Get wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity for a reliable connection throughout your home. Now through March 26th, get gig speed internet for $35 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract when you add unlimited mobile. Plus, get Wi-Fi equipment included for 2 years. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Gig speed Wi-Fi requires gig internet and Xfinity gateway. After 12 months, internet increases to $60. After 24 months, regular rates apply. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity internet. Actual speeds vary.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Hey, Tennessee, happily root for some upsets with BetMGM. Go to your account to spin the March matchups wheel and receive a 10 through 16 seed team for the tournament. If your squad makes it to the final 16, you'll win a share of $100,000 in bonus bets. The best part? This game is free to play. March is the most magical month of the year for college basketball, and BetMGM is your sportsbook for every big tournament moment. Enjoy same-game parlays, signature bets, live bets, and so much more with BetMGM in Tennessee. Make sure to spin the March matchups wheel before the tournament begins and see which college squad you're riding with. If your team goes on a run and is one of 16 left, you'll split $100,000 in bonus bets with any other winners. Only at BetMGM. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Tennessee only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I'm often asked, how'd you become the largest injury firm in the world? The answer is simple. We cared a lot. Over 30% of our new clients are referred by former clients. That says it all. Our clients have lawyers, case managers, and legal assistants always in the office. Every client has their attorney's cell phone number. Our results and client satisfaction. That's how we became the largest injury firm in the world. Injured? Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
Now is the Rewind. Rewind on 92.9. What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Play-in game, 10 seeds. We have the first four, Virginia versus Colorado State in Dayton. Colorado State, 2.5-point favorites. But here's the truth of it. But neither of these teams are very good. I'm going to lean to Virginia just because I know the Mountain West does not have a lot of success in the NCAA tournament. So give me Virginia tonight plus the 2.5. I think they could win outright.
Fast forward.
We're still awaiting word on our Showboats guest tomorrow, so we'll get you that as soon as we can. Grizzlies will play the Warriors in the Bay. First four will be played, and then it'll be day one of the NCAA tournament. We'll have plenty to get to, but that is a wrap for today. Thanks to Christian Fowler and Jeff Calkins for their contributions to today's program. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm going to pass you off to Amber and Ian. For Connor, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you know one of the best investments you can make? It's in yourself. At My Computer Career, in just a few months, you could start your new career in the high-demand, recession-resistant field of information technology. Isn't it time you invest in you and start a career in networking, cybersecurity, AI, or upskill to boost your current IT career? So, get the ROI you deserve at My Computer Career. No experience necessary. Start now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. But sometimes you're on the wrong end of those moments. That's why FanDuel is giving everyone a no-sweat bet from now until March 20th. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. You can even use your no-sweat bet on a college basketball parlay. So download that FanDuel Sportsbook app if you don't already have it by going to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's FanDuel.com/GABEK. Again, GABEK. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. TennesseeRedLine.com. And if you have a gambling problem, it's very simple. Make sure that you call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte RE72, 3985, MSRP 22320, Sportage R724-7640, MSRP 29635, Telluride RG499963, MSRP 41005, includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details, offer valid through 4-1-2024, dealer stock only.
Hey, 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 it's my man Jeff Allen bringing sweet deals from Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Hey, Randy, I've got a 2024 Kia Forte LXS that gets 41 mpg highway, and you can hit the road for...